Here's the uncomfortable truth no one likes to admit. Pain is a part of life. It shows up in layoff notices, a doctor's diagnosis, even betrayal. But what if pain wasn't just something to survive? What if it's a teacher, a mirror, a catalyst, an invitation to grow in a way that comfort never could? Today on the podcast, we're diving deep into what John Maxwell calls the law of pain. If you've ever asked why this, why now, this conversation is just for you, because you may not be able to choose your pain, but you can choose what it produces in you. Today, we explore how pain becomes a growth pathway to purpose. It's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
A Spirit-filled minister ready to take the next step in your ministry training? The Servant Leaders Cohort will help you earn your BA, MA, or DMin. We offer in-person instruction in a small group learning environment that is affordably priced. Instruction happens in monthly two-day intensives in the Triad of North Carolina. Degrees are approved and conferred by Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. You can earn your bachelor's in 2 years, a master's in 15 months, or a DMin in 18 to 24 months. For more information, go to fivegifts.org/SLC.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're thrilled you're here today, and thank you so much for joining us. This is the place where faith, leadership, and personal development intersect. I'm your host, Charles Russell, and in today's episode, we're diving into Maxwell's Law of Pain. We're going to learn that good management of bad experiences leads to great growth. Alongside Maxwell's wisdom, we'll also draw from C.S. Lewis, the problem of pain, to uncover how adversity not only grows us, but also draws us closer to God. But I'm not alone. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Bruce Ritter. If you've been around the podcast at any time at all, you know I'm just the eye candy. Bruce brings depth, substance, and credibility. And so today we welcome Dr. Bruce to the show. Bruce, how are you?
Charles, I'm flattered, but the reality is I'm sure all the algorithms show that when my voice starts, attendance drops. But glad to be with you again on our podcast Monday again. And man, we had some terrible storms over the weekend, lots of rain, really all day yesterday and through the night. And we've got some flooding in our area. So our prayers go out to those that are going through some difficulty this morning. I understand there was about 2 miles of I-40 going towards Raleigh from us that were closed because of some severe flooding. So I know that's affecting quite a few people. But we hope everyone had a great July 4th holiday. Charles, I trust you did.
I mentioned, you know, about the fireworks last week. And so just want to mention, it was a mildly successful experience. I only lost part of a finger. And so, we celebrated with a bang. just a little joke. I've got all five fingers. My apologies.
Maybe we should. little punchy here on the Five Gifts Podcast this morning. That's not the kind of pain we plan on talking about, though, if I could segue from Charles's experience.
Hey, thanks for saving us, Bruce.
Yeah. we're talking about leadership today, and one of the things that you're going to find in leadership is you're going to find uncomfortable moments, both in your personal life, your interpersonal life, and your leadership life. You're just going to find moments that are painful, moments that are disappointing, moments that feel like a betrayal. And so think about that. Have you ever been blindsided by a moment that really just took your breath away? Maybe it was a door slammed shut that you were sure God had opened. Maybe you're still carrying the weight of that moment. Well, here's the tension. We live in a world that tells us to push through the pain, to get over it, to hide it behind productivity, and sometimes to hide it behind spiritual cliches. But what if pain isn't something to escape, but something to explore? And so we're leaning into a principle that John Maxwell puts out on what he calls the law of pain. And I just want to say, Charles is a John Maxwell certified consultant and coach. And so this is, we're really leaning into some of Charles's expertise today. And so he can speak to this not only on a professional level, but a personal level, as both of us can. But one thing that we tried to integrate into this morning's podcast is some thoughts from C.S. Lewis in his classic, The Problem of Pain. And he challenges us even more to deal deeply with those painful moments when he writes, pain insists upon being attended to. And the classic line that I'm sure many of you have either quoted before, read in your sermons, or maybe highlighted in your own copy of the book, that God whispers in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. In other words, pain may feel like a disruption, but it could actually be your greatest invitation. So let's lean in today. Let's get honest. We don't intend this to be a downer podcast. Actually, I think this could be a great, great positive episode of our podcast. So often we tend to view pain as an interruption to our growth journey, but what if it's actually part of the curriculum that God uses to grow us? Growth isn't just found in those success moments, those mountaintop moments, but God meets us in the valley too. And C.S. Lewis takes it a step further, telling us that pain is the very thing that God may be using to get our attention. So let's begin there with a question that's rather sobering. Charles, what is the relationship between painful moments or even seasons of your growth as a leader?
Well, I believe it begins with the sobering truth that pain is inevitable, but growth is optional. So the truth of the matter is everyone experiences pain. Relational pain, leadership pain, spiritual pain, you name it, and everyone experiences some type of pain. It's universal. The difference maker isn't what we experience, it's how we respond. And listen, in a culture who wants to talk about our experience and playing kind of the victim card of woe is me and this is what's happened to me, this is my experience, what makes a difference in our life is not what we experience, it's how we respond. I like to hear people's stories. I want to hear your experience, but what I'm really interested in is what's your response to that experience? How did you come back from that? And so John Maxwell says that pain is inevitable and growth is optional. Lewis adds a spiritual layer to this truth. He says we can rest contentedly in our sins and in our stupidities, but pain insists upon being attended to. In other words, pain confronts our illusions of control. It wakes us up to something greater. So how do we respond in a way that produces growth rather than bitterness? Let's talk about that. Let's explore how pain can either shape you or break you. Bruce, you have some thoughts for us on that?
Yeah, pain will shape you whether you want it to or not, but I think how you allow it to shape you and what you take away from those moments, those disappointments, those seasons of life are really the way you kind of leverage those moments. Believe it or not, you don't have to direct your life according to the whims of your pain. You can actually use those moments to help you become more of who God created you to be, rather than letting it break you. And, I know people over the years in ministry, people that have gone through emotional pain as well as physical pain. And I've seen people just slide into an identity over the years where they just almost define themselves as a sick person. They define themselves as a patient. They spend years in therapy because pain has defined them. And pain isn't God's instrument to define you. It's God's instrument to grow you. And, so pain, doesn't leave us the same. It can form us. It can form us. It can also deform us if we're not proactive. Some people emerge from painful seasons wiser, deeper, more compassionate. In fact, I really think that's one of God's instruments in helping us kind of embrace humility and embrace the reality that we don't have all the answers, we don't have all the resources, we don't have all the strength, we don't have all the wisdom. Others get stuck there, though. They can get angry, they can get closed off, they can be afraid to risk or try things again. They can shrink back from maybe the vision that God has given them. The truth is you can choose to learn from pain and make it your teacher, though. And Lewis, who's ever the realist, says, try to exclude the possibility of suffering, and you find that you have excluded life itself. I mean, life is filled with these kinds of moments. And I tend to think that the more we try to avoid it, the less useful we can be to the Lord. And so remember that pain is part of the human condition, but it doesn't have to be the defining factor of your life. In fact, we want to learn to steward it well. I know that's kind of odd. We like to think of stewarding riches and resources, but the truth is, pain is something we can steward. It can become the soil where resilience and character grow. It can be the catalyst to you taking your life and leadership to the next level in your spiritual maturity, in your capacity to understand and lead people. And I think, Charles, one of the things that's missing a lot of times in a leader's life is the ability to understand what other people are experiencing and to relate to that well. I just go to the fact that Jesus himself was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And so we like to think of that's part of his being fully God and fully man. I tend to think that leaders need to remember we are very, very human. We can't escape that. So it's important, I think, that we learn how to relate to other people that are experiencing difficult moments. But let's think, what does it look like to steward pain well? That's a really great thought. Charles, how do you take a crushing moment and turn it into this catalyst for growth?
Well, I'm going to give us some kind of best practice thoughts and suggestions. I don't know that I follow them very well. I'm still on the pain journey, still trying to learn and figure all this out. But growth through pain, it requires a very powerful word: intentionality. Any kind of growth is going to require intentionality, especially growing through those difficult and painful times. So look, as we've said before, we'll say it again in this moment, growth is not automatic. It requires reflection, honesty, a choice. You have to resist the impulse to kind of numb or avoid, and instead really press in and ask, what is this moment trying to teach me? My temptation is going to be, well, let me just put my head down and just move past it, not think about it. But what we're suggesting today is that instead of doing that, instead take some times of reflection. Choose to humble yourself, choose to be vulnerable, and just begin to ask and reflect, what is this moment trying to teach me? It's easy to assume that just because time's passed or healing or growth must have happened. But time alone doesn't change us. It's what we do with that time. That's what brings the transformational impact in our lives. Look, almost all of us react emotionally to pain. The ones who grow through pain will be the ones who reflect intentionally. So reacting emotionally often means we suppress pain, we distract ourselves from it, we blame others, or here's one that our tribe's guilty of. We kind of spiritualize it away. But when that happens, we don't actually process the pain. What we do is we just postpone the impact of that pain. So it ends up leaking out later, maybe as cynicism, could be burnout, disconnection, possibly even anxiety. It's what C.S. Lewis, he really adds a profound insight here. And he says, pain removes the veil and it plants the flag of truth within the fortress of a rebel soul. In other words, pain has the unique power to confront us with reality. It strips away illusion about ourselves, about others, even about God, and forces us to face who we really are, what we truly believe, and who we really trust. It's like a spiritual MRI. So kind of thinking about these thoughts and taking the wisdom of C.S. Lewis and the law of pain and some of these initial insights we begin to talk about, and thinking about being intentional, how can we intentionally grow through pain? Well, here's three kind of talking points we can kind of consider. Number one is ask better questions. All right, if you want to begin to harness the power of pain to bring growth and transformation, you, me, all of us, we're going to have to ask better questions. So instead of asking, why is this happening to me? Try asking, what is this pain showing me about myself? What is this pain showing me about myself? What's God trying to develop in me through this? What assumptions or idols is this pain exposing? Those are much better questions than why is this happening to me? So ask better questions. Secondly, create margin for solitude and prayer. Create margin for solitude and prayer. Processing our pain with God requires space. It requires us to invite Him in. There's a humbling of ourselves. There's a humility factor here where we ask God, we invite Him to come and be God. There's a moment that we have to lay our pride down and our self-sufficiency down. If we're going to process this pain, it's going to require us to have space, to be intentional about creating space, and to be intentional about humbling ourselves and inviting Him in. David gives us a great example in Psalm 139. Let's ask like David did. He said, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Lead me in the way everlasting." Third way to grow intentionally through pain would be this. Talk to a coach, to a counselor, or to a mentor. Growth speeds up when you're not isolated. So a wise, spirit-filled coach can help you reflect with clarity and move forward with courage. So I think those are three very practical, very beneficial, and helpful ways that helps us to grow intentionally through pain. But another way to begin to grow from painful experiences is going to require more than just time. We also need a tool. So let's talk about how to process our pain through what Maxwell calls the pain file. And so, Bruce, help us out with the pain file.
Yeah, Charles, you mentioned how important reflection is in these moments, that it's vital. And you mentioned about spending time in God's presence, inviting Him into that space, asking yourself a few questions. But there is another resource, and I think it falls in line with some of the things you've talked about, and that is, we call it the pain file. That's what John Maxwell calls it. But it really is a tool for reflection. It's a journal where you record difficult experiences, how you felt, what you learned, and how you grew. The goal is not to rehash the pain and to list all your offenders, but rather to extract wisdom from it and use it as a resource for new growth experiences in life. I think it's important to remember that it's just a tool to help you examine the situation, what it brought up in your life, how it caused you to react. And sometimes it's good just to keep a mental checklist of some ways that you've responded to pain and some things that it caused you to feel. I think, you know, one of the things that can happen is, because if you're like me, when life comes at you fast, I'm a big picture thinker, and I tend to see things as one big overarching event rather than looking, you know, at the details in terms of incremental things that were happening in me. And so I really like this tool. It's good for a person like me because it can help me see patterns. One thing that C.S. Lewis, I think, may even speak to this with a profound insight. He says, mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it's more common and also more hard to bear. He says, it's easier to say my tooth is aching than to say my heart is broken. Now, if your tooth is aching, you know what you do. You go to a dentist. You take some Advil, you go to the dentist. But when your heart is broken, that is so much more complex. I mean, the heart is what the Bible teaches us. It's where all the issues of life are springing forth. And that is that's not a science, at least any science that we have on earth to take care of. So, you know, we think it's important that you examine your heart. The Bible teaches us time and time again to take the inside look, to do an inventory of things that are happening on the inside of you, what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And so I think the pain file is a really good tool for that. Keeping a pain file recognizes both visible and invisible wounds. And again, it's a tool to help invite the Lord into both of those. It gives him space to do that. That's what Charles was mentioning earlier. So pain can come in various forms, and understanding these different types of pain is really a good first step in learning how to effectively manage them for growth. And I can give you several good examples. Obviously, the pain of inexperience, where you say, I've never been through this. I've never had these feelings emerge from a situation like this before. Or the pain of incompetence, where I should have seen that coming. Why wasn't I ready for that moment? I froze and I didn't know what to do. That can be very overwhelming to a person in a leadership position. That feeling of incompetence makes us feel vulnerable. There's also the pain of disappointment, where we say, I wish it had never happened. And sometimes the pain of disappointment is so overwhelming. We see this in stages of grief that, and there is that stage of denial, because disappointment can have such a powerful, powerful impact on us. Then there's the pain of conflict, where human encounter doesn't always feel good. And, you know, a consistent pattern of conflict, when you haven't learned to resolve it, when you haven't learned to manage conflict, it can be very painful. And those wounds can lodge in your spirit. They can be a continual voice that you bring up time and time again when you're going through similar conflicts. So, again, the pain of conflict is a powerful, very very formative kind of a pain, and it's important that we learn to manage that. And then there's the pain of change. You know, I like to rearrange things in my office. I love to rearrange things in my office at home. Over the weekend, I found myself just immersed in doing some things in the yard. I'm a person that kind of likes change. I know it's kind of weird, but man, I live with my wife and my daughter, and they do not like change. Change is a painful thing for them. Anything that upsets the balance of life, the order of life, the schedule of life. And so that can be painful. The pain of change is, I just didn't want that to happen. I wasn't ready for that to happen. Then there's the pain of bad health, where we were thinking, I lost what I thought I would always have. I got to tell you, as a guy in my 50s, I'm learning that I'm not in my 30s anymore. There's just some things I thought I would always be that I'm finding out I'm not always going to be. And so the pain of bad health is that moment where you recognize, boy, there's some things wrong in a system of my body that they need attention. And it can be very disheveling. It can be something that throws you off kilter. It can be a real moment of intense reality once you're kind of in, maybe on the heels of a bad doctor's prognosis. So those are things that we need to consider. Then there's the pain of hard decisions. You know, you can't make everyone happy. You're never going to make everyone happy in leadership. I think the pain of hard decisions is probably the most intricately tied to leadership. So as a leader, you've got to pay attention to those moments where people are angry with you, and what that might be eliciting in you. I know there's some leaders that think I'm impervious to that. I can plow through that and not think twice about it. Well, great. Well, the other 90% of us have a hard time moving on from disappointing people. And so we have to process that. There's the pain of financial loss. You know, if only I could get back what I've lost, what I saw just vanish over just a few days in my life. The pain of financial loss is terrible. The pain of relationship loss. Some people will grow in a different direction than me. Some people are going to go in a different direction than me. And then the pain of not being number one, where we feel like, you know, I deserve to be there. I deserve that interview. I deserve that promotion. I think it's pretty common in any kind of leadership role. You're going to find yourself comparing yourself to other people. And sometimes someone else's success is kind of like a mirror to our soul. We look and we think, boy, what do they have that I don't? You know, I deserve to be there. And so the pain of not being number one, it doesn't necessarily mean you're arrogant. It just means that you're kind of living in a highly competitive world. And that can be one of the byproducts of it. And then finally, the pain of traveling. When I'm away, I feel a certain way. Again, I think that's largely located to the pain of change. It's you're constantly in a different environment, a different setting. And that can be troublesome for many of us. But the reason I list all those categories is because by acknowledging them and thinking about those different kinds of pains, I think it's an easier way to process them. So instead of simply enduring pain or trying to avoid it, we learn from those experiences. We think about them in terms of what they are. And so the pain file serves as a mental or an actual record of challenges that when we properly manage them, we can see significant personal and professional growth. John Maxwell emphasizes that good management of bad experiences leads to great growth. And I think that's a shift for us to look at pain as something to steward. If we think of that, all good and perfect gifts come from the Father of lights in who there's no variation or shadow, then the gifts that you want to steward well, like your wealth or your spiritual gifts, or maybe the leadership role you have and the people that you lead, you look at the stewarding them. Well, just think of how important it is to steward your painful moments, those things that God allows into your life. He never allows anything in your life without purpose. So learn to steward those well. Now, I want to add this because I just see some similarities in it. One of the things that a good coach uses and is called the narrative of success. And other people will call it the HPP, the high performance patterns. It's a similar assessment where we begin to look at some of the more successful moments of life. It seems like it's on the other end of the spectrum, but what you're doing with the high performance patterns is you're identifying, leveraging an individual's unique, or maybe your own unique, repeatable sequence of actions and internal mind states of mind that lead to your best performance. So it's not just a list of steps, it's actually a narrative, a story that describes how you naturally engage or process or execute when you're thriving and you see the exceptional results. Well, the pain file can have the same kind of value, not from successes, but rather from the lessons learned from the harsher moments of life. So take time, schedule 15 to 20 minutes, write out your story of pain and include what happened. How did you respond to it emotionally, relationally, spiritually, even physically? And then list some things that you feel like you're learning, or maybe you did learn. But here's where it gets redemptive. When you look at your pain file, when you've done all the reflection, when you've invited God into your space, what if your deepest pain wasn't just about you? What if what's revealed is that it helped prepare you to help someone else? So Charles, talk to us about how your pain can prepare you to help others.
Well, pain is the great equalizer, plain and simple. It humbles us, but it also connects us. If you've ever suffered, if you've ever gone through painful situations, then there's a level of empathy that you can live in. You know how to walk with someone else who's hurting. So Maxwell, again, he reminds us your pain can become someone else's breakthrough. C.S. Lewis, again, he offers a lens of divine purpose in this. He says, God allows us to experience the low points of life in order to teach us lessons that we could learn in no other way. And those are two profound statements from two very wise men. And I've seen those dynamics at play in my life. I know the work that I'm doing now, working with pastors and really working with the work I'm doing now didn't just happen by accident. It just wasn't random. It really was birthed out of a couple different seasons of pain that I had to work through. And thankfully, the Lord brought people alongside of me who helped me to make a right response, to respond well to some darkness, to some pain that happened in my life. And the lessons learned through walking through those painful situations really served as catalyst to launch me to what I'm doing now. And being able to serve other pastors, being able to help other churches, and walk some pathways of transformation. And so when I see and read statements from people like John Maxwell that says your pain can become someone else's breakthrough, that becomes not only a catalyst for others, but a catalyst for me when I'm on a video call or I'm sitting across the table with a pastor who is just going through it, who is pressed on every side. I think back to lessons that I learned as I was navigating those very same or similar situations, and the pain endured in those moments have now become redemptive. Certainly I've been redeemed, but now I'm able to offer a line of redemption, if you will, to help pastors kind of feel like there's a way out of this. And, you know, Bruce, I know you have experiences. Anyone who's listening to this who has had any kind of leadership tenure, you understand how pain can be, if we'll respond the correct way, how it can be redemptive for others. And it reminds me of the nature of the God we serve. He is a God of redemption. Even in the Old Testament, we can talk about how harsh God was and how brutal God was. But at the end of the day, His judgment was always for redemptive purposes. God is a God who redeems, and even in our painful times, in our painful seasons, if we can choose to hold on to Him and to follow Him, surround ourselves with what we've already said, coaches, guides, mentors, who will walk with us in the journey, if we'll respond well, there is redemption that comes to us. But again, as C.S. Lewis says, those experiences, the low points of life, they'll teach us lessons that we could learn in no other way. And now our pain becomes redemptive for those that God positions us to serve. So the heartbreak, the failure, the dark night of the soul, those are all things that can become God's catalyst for deepening and growing us as leaders. Here's the tweetable moment for us today. People don't need our perfection. What they need is our redemption story. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to someone the other day just about leadership and kind of my leadership journey and how being transparent has elevated my leadership. You know, you take the spiritual gifts assessments and you take all the things. And I was saying that several years ago, I took a particular spiritual gifts assessment, and leadership was the top highest scoring gift on that assessment. But In this assessment, all the gifts were broken down into what's called a construct. The traits, the individual traits that make up that gift. And so while leadership was my highest scoring gift, when you looked at the constructs, transparency was the lowest scoring construct in that gift. And so what that tells me was I can increase and further develop my leadership by becoming more transparent. And a statement that like this, people don't need our perfection, they need our redemption story. That's proof positive that being transparent, growing in transparency, elevates one's leadership. And so I've been on that journey of not trying to be perfect, of not trying to be the standard, but to be a person who is redemptive. Mm. And that comes through, think about a painful lesson a painful season of your life. And now begin to ask yourself, who can I encourage because of what I've been through? This is a great reflective prompt for listeners. And look, sometimes leading is listening. And so in our leadership listening, what a great question to begin to think and reflect. Who could I encourage because of what I've been through? Bruce, any further thoughts or anything you want to add?
Yeah, Charles, just listening to you and listening to this whole episode and getting ready for it, I couldn't help but think back a few weeks when we talked about what it means to disciple people and what needs to be part of discipleship. And we talked a lot about having the right image of Christ, you know, in our discipleship, because that's who the Holy Spirit is helping us to become. And, you know, a couple of the elements that are part of that is humility, brokenness, rather. And I think the ability to trust. And, you know, when I think about two foundational qualities that you need to lean into to manage and to steward pain are those two things. Humility, recognizing that, okay, this pain is revealing something vulnerable in me. It's revealing that I'm not as impervious to life as I think I am. I'm not ready for conflict like I thought I was. Humility, in any moment of humility in life is a great place to say that I need the Lord in this. I need His guidance. I need His wisdom. I need His understanding. I recognize that he is El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient God. And so pain is a moment, I think, that can help reawaken us to worship the God who is sufficient. Certainly, we also believe that Jesus is a healer. And so those are opportunities for him to show his healing grace in our lives. So humility is huge. And I think the other one is trust. The need to really trust God. We talk about faith a lot, and faith, you know, to believe for mountains to be moved and for capital campaigns to go off without a hitch. I mean, there is so much of a need for faith when it comes to leadership. But I think when it comes to pain, that faith is expressed in trust that God is with me in this, that he's working in my life. He's not absent. He's present. So I'd just like to say, you know, based on those two things, don't waste the pain. It's not the enemy. Pain is not the enemy. You know what is the enemy? Unprocessed pain. When you bury pain, it festers. When you bury pain, it becomes bitter. When you bury pain, it can take the initial impact and begin to work its way into other systems in your internal life. But when we bring it to God, it can transform us. We can find wisdom. We can find understanding. We can find healing. We can uncover some of the greater wonders of who our God really is. And, you know, we always want to know God in context. We don't want to just look at the Word as some static, removed book that tells us who He is. We need to experience who He is. And And God has never known the best until we know him personally. So ask the hard questions when it comes to pain. Ask the hard questions. I remember Larry Crabb would say that. In difficulty, don't shy away from the hard questions. Don't deny. Ask the hard questions. Journal your reflections. And most of all, invite the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, our guide, our teacher, our friend, into the places that hurt. You know, don't waste those moments. Steward them well. Turn it into growth. Turn it into depth and clarity. Become a better leader because of what you're going through today. Learn from it. Again, let it deepen your soul. A couple of reflection questions you may just want to consider as we close out today are, number one, what painful experience in my life is God using to shape me right now? Number two, am I resisting or cooperating with that process? Be honest with that. Chances are we are resisting. I don't think anyone defaults to cooperation in the beginning. So consider that. Number three, who might be waiting on the other side of my healing? Again, I thought Charles offered a very insightful question at the end. Who is the person that needs, not my perfection, they need the story of God's redemption in my life. One last quote from C.S. Lewis. He's been so helpful today. I'm never not surprised at how deep C.S. Lewis can be, but he also wrote, God allows us to experience the low points of life in order to teach us lessons that we could learn in no other way. And folks, that's just reality. Remember that good management, just like John Maxwell says, good management of bad experiences can lead to great growth. Charles, close us out today.
Sure. Well, look, if you're in a painful season, don't rush through it. Reflect on it. Take time and reflect on the season that you're in. A few ways to do that. You can journal your pain. Use the pain file that Bruce led us through. What happened? You know, how has it shaped you? So journaling is a wonderful tool. Prayer. Praying through what God may be teaching you. You're asking the questions, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you leading me through? What are you teaching me in this moment? And begin to pray through those reflective answers that you're sensing. It's an exercise in discernment. As you're discerning, pray through what God may be teaching you. And finally, share your story. Share it with someone else who needs hope. It's going to take a bit of faith and a bit of courage and of humbling oneself to be vulnerable, to be transparent. But somebody needs to hear your story. So share your story with someone who needs hope. Maybe you've tried to navigate this season alone, but you've hit a wall. And so what that is, it's not the sign to give up and quit. It's a sign that you don't need more willpower. What you need is a wise, spirit-led guidance. Well, you don't have to walk through this process alone. One of the most effective ways to grow through your pain is by working with a spiritual life or a leadership coach, someone that's trained to help you. And they can help make sense of your story. They can help reframe pain through a redemptive lens, can clarify your next steps. I can even build forward momentum with spiritual integrity. And so maybe it's time to stop asking, why me, and start asking, what now, Lord? I'm telling you that one change of phrase, that one change of question can bring eternal freedom in your life. Stop asking, why me, and start asking, what now, Lord? So as coaches, Bruce and I, what we are passionate about is helping leaders, pastors, creatives, everyday people like you move from breakdown to breakthrough. So if something stirred in your heart today, don't ignore it. There's some resources that are available. You can visit Bruce, who is a phenomenal coach and guide. Visit him at coachingcardia.com. He's got some wonderful resources there that you can access, and you can access him personally through that site. You can find me at charlesrussellministries.com or charlesrusselltraining.com. So contact Bruce or myself, schedule a free 30-minute discovery call, and take the first courageous step towards clarity, healing, and spirit-empowered growth. Look, we want to thank you for joining us today here on the Five Gifts Podcast. If this episode encouraged you, please like, subscribe, share it with a friend who's navigating pain. And always remember, pain is a part of the process, but it's not the end of the story. With God, pain has a purpose. With intentionality, it can become a platform, and with support, you don't have to walk through it alone. So with all that said, until next time, keep growing, keep showing up, and keep turning pain into purpose. We'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.